Your martial arts movie podcast.
Ha ha! I threw that shit before I walked in the room!
Featuring drunken Thai boxer, Will.
Too bad you will die.
The also drunken wrestler, Mark.
I said I don't want trouble!
And drunken karate master, Zero.
You've lost your boss.
And now...
Call.
I know kung fu.
You know, baby.
Fists of Fail.
Are we watching another Miami Connection today? Is this another New York Ninja? Or I'm trying to think... Samurai Cop. I'm trying to think of all the movies that have suddenly entered the so-bad-as-good stratosphere. And in that movies have been... that were filmed and maybe released way back when are suddenly being discovered or finally being distributed now. Is this one of those? Is Blood and Steel one of those?
I don't know.
That's a rhetorical question. I don't know. Yeah.
This is an interesting one. So Blood and Steel, this came out on DVD last year, 2023. Oh boy, 2024. I'm going to hate saying that, as all people do in the new year, but this came out last year under the boutique DVD label. I believe it's SRS Cinema. They picked this up, and it was originally filmed in 1990 by one gentleman doing almost all the titles, wearing many, many of the hats, Mark Sweatland. And it's interesting because I don't think this was lost in the way that New York Ninja was lost, where they only had the films, they had the film reels, they didn't have a shot list, they didn't have the audio, and I believe it's Vinegar Syndrome had to try and painstakingly put it all together. This looks like it's the final product as the director intended, but it just never, I don't believe it ever went anywhere into cinemas, maybe in the local cinemas in Buffalo, where I believe the creator is from, and then from there just disappeared, you know, just fell off the face of the earth until somebody somewhere from SRS discovered it, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, it's regardless of however it was distributed or not distributed, I'm sure SRS, they saw this and they're like, okay, well, folks really love this genre film now, so like let's see if this is one of those that could eventually turn into a cult classic, right? Especially those who, people like us, who just eat this stuff up. After watching it, I think I had a better time watching this with you, watching this a second time by myself. I mean, this is always going to be the case, right? Watching so bad good media by yourself is never going to be as fun as watching it with a couple of folks just cackling at it together. But I feel like it's not quite there. But there are some enjoyable things in the movie, which we will talk about, and some commendable things, actually, that I could probably dive into a little bit deeper, especially given that this is in the martial arts sphere. This is a...
More specifically, this is a Bruce-ploitation movie.
Yep, it's a Bruce-ploitation film. Yep. Very on the nose, but... let's talk about the story before we dive into that a little deeper. The movie is very simple in that aspect. It's about a man, Mark Sweatland... You know, the director, producer, writer, and starring Mark Sweatland. Mark Sweatland's sister is killed, and Mark is trying to figure out why and how it happened, but also somehow gets involved with drugs. Big drug operation.
Because why not, right?
Because that's, you have to elevate the stakes, Zero. That's how you have a movie. Very simple story. That's not why you're watching this movie. You're in it for, as action heads, you're in it for one reason. Terrible dialogue. Terrible, terrible dialogue in this movie. I don't know, Zero. Like, what are your thoughts? Like, from a so bad it's good standpoint.
This is not a so bad it's good film, in my opinion. It has all the trappings and all the potential sell words that you would hope when looking for a so bad it's good gem. You found out this was released long ago and then got buried. Somebody dug it back up. This is a vanity project, but actually, I don't really think it's so vain. It just happens to be by one person doing a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of doing many of the multiple aspects that come into the filmmaking process. But there are, I feel, only a certain, there are only certain moments where it feels like somebody or he himself wrote it so that he sounds like this menacing presence on screen. And if you think of something like maybe, I don't know, like a Neil Breen film or a Steven Seagal film where people are just spewing dialogue about how great the main character is, how they're wanted because of their skills from the CIA, the FBI, you know, Navy SEALs. Everybody wants this person on their team because of how special he is. And we don't get that kind of cheesy dialogue here, oddly enough. It's pretty straightforward. But in terms of so bad it's good, it might feel like that because this is shot on 16mm and it has a low-budget feel because this literally is a low-budget. This is a, I would say this is more a passion project than a vanity project. And so the so bad it's good stuff... I don't know. I don't think it's bad, really. I think it's actually pretty commendable what the director and star was able to do. It's just that you can tell he doesn't have the best screenwriting talents or acting chops. I mean, it's there. I mean, if anything, he's the best actor, surprisingly, in this whole thing. Everybody else cannot act to save their dear lives.
You know that this is just either the local theater troupe or maybe I can't even give them that much credit. I'm assuming that this is just a bunch of friends.
It's friends and family. This must most definitely be friends, family, neighbors, random people on the street.
I'm sure like the main bad guy, who is the drug lord, I guess he's kind of the drug lord. I don't really know what he's like the construction lead, I guess. He must be like the main character's, the lead actor's uncle or something like that. Everything seems like everyone in the movie, including the girlfriend character, is probably just like real life, analogous to like people he knows. Like that's probably his real girlfriend.
That's what I was assuming. That's his real girlfriend. That's his boss. Or his uncle, or just some sort of relation to the character. And hey, listen, when you're making a small project like this, yes, you need all the help you can get. It is very difficult to make a film.
Yes.
And the fact that he is doing so much of it is just kind of interesting. And I think what's really fascinating about this movie is when you have these passion projects, you can see where the creator might be really excited and really happy to do this, but the outcome in what they're trying to do falls flat. I think what's really fun about this movie is it's clear that Mark Sweatland loves Bruce Lee. It's so evident. And it's so evident.
What makes you say that, Zero? I don't know.
I don't know if it's the yellow jumpsuit or if it's the
mannerisms.
But yeah, the guy might like Bruce Lee. I would say
just a little bit.
Yeah. I would say idolizes.
You might have heard of him.
Yeah, possibly heard of him. But yes, no, it's impressive that you have a fan who is also a martial artist who loves, you know, his idol or his admirer Bruce Lee, and is able to take the Bruce Lee mannerisms and the famous moves and choreography sets and not just blatantly steal it one for one. I think he does a really interesting remix of all the things that you know that Bruce Lee has made visually popular in his films, and he puts it into Buffalo, New York, And with his little low budget, he takes all the things that you're familiar with and somehow makes this interesting mashup of Mark Sweatland's take on Bruce Lee movies.
Yeah, that's you can definitely see, especially if you've seen all, if not all, most of the fight scenes from the rest of Bruce Lee's catalog, you know, where this movie is drawing inspiration from. It's not really ripping off. Sometimes it's like, okay, that's straight up the exact choreography. But yes, remix is a good way to describe it. He does change it up just enough to kind of make it his own. Changes the scenario, changes the environment just a little bit. Changes little variables so that you know that, like, okay, this is not a one-to-one, rip-off of Bruce Lee's material. But I'd say that this film, yes, like, I guess by definition, you would call it a vanity project, but it's not really. Yeah, like, you're right. It's not very vain. This is straight up just a home video. It's like, this is one of those independent films that... independent film. Oh, God, what am I even talking about? Like, this is one of those films that you made as a passion project, like you said, when you were young. Very young, and you're trying to, like, you know, you're a child, and you're trying to, you know, emulate the latest Indiana Jones film, and everyone made that when they had their own VHS equipment, right? You just made your own film that way. This has that feel, except the main actor is in his 20s, and that's the only difference here.
And he has kind of a budget. I mean, there's gore. There's guns. There's different locations. I mean, yes, he's probably just shooting around the hometown, but the guy, because of the 16mm aspect and because you get the film grain and whatnot, it feels like this could have been a super low budget film that was in the Grindhouse theaters.
No, yeah. That's what we need to. We need to watch this in the theater so that way I can not understand the dialogue in a much bigger on a much bigger screen.
Yeah, I had to turn on the subtitles for this. Some of the sound mixing is not good, unfortunately, but again, low budget. I'm not gonna fault any of that because nobody cares about this story, but I do kind of want to touch on it a little bit because I kind of don't understand the more detailed version of this story.
Okay.
He wants revenge because his sister gets killed.
Yes.
His sister, his girlfriend reiterates to Mark that the sister had a camera that they actually took pictures of a bunch of men who were trying to sexually assault them. And they got the camera back, and now she's going to develop the film. Now, one of the guys who was going to sexually assault him is somehow working for this drug dealer.
Yeah, any more than this.
That's where the whole thing kind of falls apart for me.
Yeah. I mean, we're still in that territory where it's very early on in the movie, so we can't mention anymore. But after that, it definitely feels a lot more spoilery. So it kind of depends on, like, if you want to talk about it right now or not, Zero. But yes, let's just say for now that you're right. There's a lot of chain of events that have to happen. And I know I watched this with you, and watching a second time in preparation for this episode, I was like, wow, I didn't realize. I forgot how many, would you call them coincidences?
Oh,
I guess
so many, coincidences happened because... I think we can go into a little bit.
Sure, okay, a little bit more, yeah.
Yeah, because, so, the person in the picture who is associated with the drug lord actually dies, and Mark Sweatland goes to his dojo because that guy ran the dojo, but then they're like, oh, he doesn't work here anymore because he died. And he's like,
yeah, but we need a fight scene.
He's like, you're lying. I want the truth. And he beats up everyone in the dojo. And at first I was thinking, wow, this guy's a dick. He did not listen to the fact that these guys didn't know where this person is because he's dead, essentially. But then what ends up happening is after beating up everybody, Mark Sweatland goes, all right, well, they're all wrong. I'm going to now rummage in the office of this dojo. And then he finds documents that say, like, a drop-off. Well, I got to go check this out. And he checks it out. And it actually turns out that the random documents he found are linked back to the drug lord. It's just, it's too coincidental.
So many coincidences. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, that's everything you explained sounds really complicated. And watching the movie, it's like, it's not complicated as you're watching the film. But the fact that it takes so many loops just to ultimately culminate to the same simple premise, which is like, oh, there's bad guys who want to stop the main character from stopping their operation. That's really as simple as that gets. And then there's this other big baddie, like who is introduced halfway through the movie. The character's name is Steiner. He is supposed to be like the big menace that you know, like physically speaking, that the main character will have to go against. And you think that, like, oh, this is gonna end with an epic fight between the two. And then there's like another guy that gets introduced. Like, wait, there's another guy? Oh no, wait, Steiner is the last guy, right? Then there's the first guy. Whatever. The point I'm trying to make is that they made two characters when it should have just been one.
No. They needed two because we can't really ruin it. He fights someone at the end who is the final boss.
Yes.
And that person needs to be the final boss because of how they connected into the whole story. It's cathartic for how Mark deals with this person, and I'm probably just giving it away by saying that, but yeah. He's there. But what happens is Mark beats up everybody in the dojo, and the person who runs the dojo says, like, oh, you should hire a third party so that we no longer need to be involved. And so they have a hitman come in.
Yeah.
And he's technically that second adversary you're talking about.
Yeah. I still, again, you're right. Like, I can't talk about this anymore without spoilers. But yeah, I feel like that he's still that hitman. And whatever. Like, they all could have been the same character. That's just how I felt.
You're right. Also, yeah, they could have been. But whatever. We're not here to script doctor this, because this is not what it's about.
This is what this movie's all about, Zero.
So it's funny because not only does this have Bruce, you know, very obvious nods to Bruce Lee and his infamous fight scenes, but it actually does have action in its own. And I think this is where this is the worst part of the movie for me, I guess, because of the budget. So there is a motorcycle chase scene.
Okay.
And admirable, considering it's a low budget film. It's a bunch of guys around train tracks, riding their mopeds around, chasing each other. It's filmed nicely, but because it's so low budget, they can't really do anything too crazy with it. So it ultimately winds up just being a literal motorcycle chase, and it is what it is, right?
Those bikes are like 3 inches off the ground sometimes. that counts.
Yeah.
That counts. That's dangerous. Oh my God. I was at the edge of my seat when that happened. all two times that it happened. Yeah, you're right. Whatever. Like that chase scene does happen. I love how most of these action scenes, they ultimately end with like something either really cheesy or really clumsy that happens. It's mostly because it's just so, like, I'm sure, like, Mark Sweatland himself, very talented. It seems like he's very talented. You know, it's just like the curse is that, you know, the production, it has to be low budget and, you know, and such. But also, you can tell no one else in the movie, with the exception of like two or three other people, actually know martial arts. Right?
I would say most of the on-screen fighters look like they've trained.
Yeah.
Kinda. Even the girls, you can see they probably have like a little bit of martial arts training. Like when the girls fight in the woods, like that's easily the worst fight, but not because it's a bad fight. It's just like, oh, they're probably the most no vice of them all. Yeah. They get attacked and they defend themselves, and you're just like, oh, okay, that's fine. It's not good, but it's
right.
serviceable.
Well, it's one thing to know the concepts, but then another to actually apply it, especially with choreography. And Mark Swetland himself seems decent enough. Like, I'm giving him props because I'm cutting him slack because this is definitely low budget too. But he's doing a pretty good job, and some of the other guys too, especially the middle, the fight in the middle of the movie. Like, that one's probably the best of the movie, even though that's,
I believe that guy is actually the assistant choreographer.
There you go. That's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is.
That is definitely the fight in the middle is definitely the best. It's crazy. That was filmed in 24 hours, and it looks like that was probably added later in production, because I remember when you and I were watching it, it's very evident that his hair changes. Like, his haircut changes, and they're probably just like, all right, we're going to pause filming for now. We're going to come back to it. He got a haircut, or, they need to do reshoots, or they added this because they needed a little more action to elevate it. And so apparently they did this in 24 hours, and a lot of that's improv. And it's crazy because it's, you're looking for the Bruce Lee stuff. Once you know this is a Bruce Lee Tation movie and you know he's referencing Bruce Lee, I'm always looking for the Bruce Lee fight choreography that I recognize. And it's funny because the middle fight is probably Way of the Dragon, but it's not really Way of the Dragon. You don't, again, he's taking moments that you remember, but then he's kind of making its own because there's fucking grappling. There's crazy grappling. Crazy, messy grappling that happens.
There are moments where they're just straight up just tussling on the floor. It's like, we're talking too much into the exact specifics of the action. I'd say overall the action is commendable. I said that word already, but it is commendable. Just like the whole movie is commendable, but I'd say overall, because it's not so bad, it's good territory. So I think the movie is easy to sit through, but it doesn't hold my full attention throughout. Like, it's not ultra engaging.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem. I want it to be so bad it's good. When it's not the fights, because it's a story that's getting us through the motions in order to get us to the action. It's not dumb. The acting is, it's amateur because it literally is amateur, but it's not bad amateur. Like, this needed bad dubbing. This needed weird edits. This needed reactions to things that weren't there. It needed incompetence. And it's weird because he's not incompetent. He's just a very amateur filmmaker, and it shows. I would be really, really curious to see more films from him, so maybe you could see if there's some sort of progression in his filmmaking. But unfortunately, we just have this, and I would say if this is his first and maybe only film, like, it's pretty good considering that I don't know if he has any sort of experience with making movies.
Oh, you're wrong, Zero, because he is also in American Shaolin. And I think that's it. that's his old catalog.
Right.
So I don't think he went too far. This would have been, I guess in the 90s, late 80s, you could totally take something like this and be like, this is just the planting the seeds of a potential growth. But I'm sure this is or like 1990, right? So like, there's only so many avenues you can go, and you really have to luck out in order to like become the next big action star. Like, with everything we said, like, he doesn't have the acting chops, and I think his physicality is the only thing that really kind of sells the movie. And besides, it's like amateur, like competent enough amateurish filmmaking ability. But I don't know. I think the movie overall is just like, it's entertaining enough, but I really did want it to be stupid. Like, it's so dumb that I was just entertained throughout, and it wasn't quite that. But I do, like I said many times already, the action is worth is enough to, you know, merit a whole episode. So that's why we're here today, and that's why we're going to talk about it in more detail and maybe talk more about spoilers, because there's a lot of dots, connecting dots that culminate into, like, oh, that's why that happened. This is still the simplest story in the world.
Yeah, there's no spoilers. I don't even think we're going to go into the detailed plot. But if you want to hear us to go deeper into action, because we're going to call out as many of the nods to the Bruce Lee movies as we can, or that we can remember, you should consider subscribing to us on Patreon, because there you'll hear the full uncut episode, as well as if you subscribe to higher tiers, you can get bonus episodes like Bloodhounds. We just talked about that.
Yeah, yeah.
The Korean boxing TV show.
I have to correct you, Zero, because now it is 2024, and all those bonus episodes you just mentioned, they are now available to any subscribed patron.
Oh, I misspoke.
That's right. Yeah, that's okay. But hey,
I fooled you.
Zero, you're conning the audience the whole time. No, but if you are in the higher tier, now you're going to get bonus video content. We're going to be releasing a lot of stuff. There's going to be stuff that's going to be released on our YouTube, so shameless plug to our YouTube channel as well. We have a lot more content that's coming out, but you're going to see the unedited versions of our content also on Patreon. So if you want to see the action uninterrupted, because YouTube's algorithm, or not algorithm, their sensors are just fucking annoying, you can watch them on Patreon, support us, do all the jazz. There's lots of reason to watch us on Patreon, so go ahead and check us out there. But with all that said, let's talk about Blood and Steel. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We're at the point where we give our recommendations, but there's a whole wealth of audio you would be listening to here if you follow us on Patreon. There you can listen to the entire episode, including an exclusive action breakdown of the fights in the movie. And now on to our final thoughts. Yep. But anyways, that's Blood and Steel. That's Blood and Steel. It's not quite so bad as good territory. I mentioned that in the general the early intro already, but it's not so bad as good, but there's commendable stuff in it. So easy watch. It's a very easy watch.
So easy. Really just nice to sit through. It's refreshing, because I was a little nervous going in because of what I heard people just saying, oh, it's like a Bruce Plotation movie almost. He's just doing a lot of the Bruce Lee moves. But when you see it for yourself, you're like, oh, okay, I see what he's doing. He's influenced by Bruce Lee. Yes, he's taking a lot of the direct moves, but he's also making them his own, and he's adding his own flair to it. This is what you want. This is an iteration. Sure. This is the way you iterate, in my opinion, as opposed to just kind of blatantly ripping off. And it's funny because, like, when you watch some of those Bruceploitation movies, like, they can't even rip off Bruce Lee correctly. It's like such a poor imitation of what the original person is. And so I feel like this is so flattering and just so surprising that it's done so well.
I totally agree. I'm surprised by it, but I will say I am still saddened that it's not so bad as good territory.
Yes, not enough. I wanted this to be dumber.
Yes, exactly.
I wanted it to be stupider. I wanted more mistakes. I would have happily laughed at boom mics in the shot, or editing mistakes, or snafus, anything to make this not competent of a film.
This movie showed promise. It's unfortunate that unfortunate that this thing go too far for Mark. Maybe he just needs some extra acting classes after this. He could have totally done something with this, but this is the early 90s. Who knows? You know, like the landscape wasn't really available for a lot of American-born martial artists at the time. Unless you have the acting chops, and it's, you know, a very
He just needed to be discovered. I mean, this would have been a great show reel for him. I'm surprised. Well, I mean, we don't know. We don't know the history. Maybe he put himself out there. Maybe he shows people, and people laughed at him, and he just never wanted to be in film again. You know, don't know the story, so we'll never know unless he tells us, or more of his films resurface and we get more history on it. So, yeah.
Yeah, entertaining film regardless, for one reason or another. I'd say watch it. It has some little things to nitpick on, but overall, like, those are just really nitpicks. The movie really is a really simple watch, so why not? Just go check it out. It's out of that, I watched New York Ninja again. Go watch New York Ninja again.
I think I'd rather, I don't know if I'd rather watch this or New York Ninja. I think I kind of prefer this better because I like the choreography here. And okay, I'm more interested in now trying to spot all the little things he's pulling from Bruce Lee, because I got a few of them, but not all of them. It's funny. He tries to do the multiple hands, like in, what is it? Fist of Fury, when he's waving the arms around and you see the multiple hands overlapping on each other. He couldn't do that. So he does almost like a kaleidoscope effect.
It's an actual kaleidoscope.
It's an actual kaleidoscope. It's like, oh, I mean, hey, like, that's the best he could do. Like, I'm so happy he tried something. But an interesting tidbit, I don't know if you saw in the end of the credits, is that he says only a few actors really got hit by Mark during the making of this production.
Oh, God. At least he's honest.
Yeah, he's honest. I mean, listen, we've seen behind the scenes of martial arts films, and yeah, you can get clocked, and you can see a couple actors get clocked. Clearly, they're eating it. So, you know, unfortunately, that's what happens in these things. But yeah, I recommend this movie. I enjoyed it. It takes a little bit to get into. I remember when we were watching it, I was thinking, okay, where is this going? It's a slasher. I don't know if I'm digging it. And then you get the opening fight with a sister, and I thought, oh no, this is not good. And then finally you get the dojo fight. You're like, okay, this is a taste of things to come. And then the fight with the other assistant fight choreographer is really, really good. It's a great take on Bruce Lee choreography. So yeah, Blood and Steel.
Blood and Steel. Whatever you decide on whether you watch it or not, just please drink some alcohol when you're watching it. Actually, I think that helped. For me, it definitely helped.